We all know what Funko Pops are. Those jazzy little figurines that represent some of your favorite characters from film, television, and comics. The biggest problem with Funko Pops? They're made of plastic. That's where Skin Pops comes in. Oh, Skin God. Pops, made of 99% human flesh and filled with 50% human blood. The rest is made up of stuff we don't know about or talk about. Get your Skin Pop today.
I'm Cartridge.
I'm Jazzy Ann.
And I'm Milton Wall. And you're listening to Stickers, the... Yeah, I'll get to it later as soon as I'm done reheating my kids' cuisine in the microwave, because I can't wait to eat the corn of podcasts, where we bring on guests to talk about their stickers, a.k.a. the worst ideas they've ever had.
Stinkers. Stinkers.
Stinkers.
Welcome to the pod, comedian, writer, and podcast king, Sean Distin.
Wow. Yay. I'm so happy to be here. I have to give your podcast an award right away.
Yeah. Whoa. An award?
An award.
Award.
I'm granting you the award of podcast intro that starts out in the most possible confusing way, yeah, but then somehow finds a way to land the plane while explaining what the podcast is. So by the end, you feel safe.
Yes. Yeah.
In the beginning, you're worried, but by the end, you feel completely taken care of.
Wow. Now you're, yeah, you're
when describing... the plane takes off, we shoot every window out with a gun.
It's depressurized immediately. Mm-hmm. But you get to the ground and you're like, I can't believe we got there. I love it.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, Sean. That's the first time anyone has ever used the word safe in a positive context during this.
Well, look, I mean, I've been doing it for about 30 seconds. So currently... Yeah. I feel safe.
Wow. And the thing is, what we're doing is shocking the nervous system. You know, we're trying to build resilience.
It's like a polar plunge.
It's an ice. Exactly. This podcast is an ice plunge, and it's contrast therapy. You're going to be getting in and out. You know.
Yes.
Well, great. I'm glad to be here. I'm really happy to be here and talk about some stinkers for show.
Yeah, baby.
We like to start it off by kind of talking about each of our own stinkers of the week. You can feel free to let us know what you think about that, Sean.
Just the whole idea and the whole concept in general.
I'm going to say, I'm not going to give you an award for that part.
Fuck.
Not that it's not good, but we just can't give awards to every part.
No, it's just tough because we started off with an award. So now there's...
I would like more.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Just be good, you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
Best behavior. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Best behavior.
Anyone have a little stink they want to talk about?
Mine's pretty short and sweet. I'll just say it. Is that
all right? Let's go.
Something I like to do is with my friend go and maybe get a little, you know, a little bit twisted and go see scary movies, because I like the twists, but I'm also really afraid of scary movies.
Sure.
And this one is simple, but it's the truth is that I went to see Saw 10. First
Saw
of all,
Twitter.
Yes, Saw Twitter. I went to see Saw Elon Musk.
Yeah.
First, thinking it would be good because I saw online that people said it was good. And secondly, thinking I would enjoy it, but it was the most disgusting movie I've ever seen in my entire life. That stuff has gotten, I've only seen the first one. It's gotten so nasty by now.
Yeah.
It's all just about people sucking out their insides and peeling out their brains. And it is just not all right.
I just watched the first one for a podcast, and it's surprisingly not gory. Like, when you look,
it's unbelievable. It's such a good fucking movie.
That the reputation of it and the influence of it has turned into this sort of gore fest is kind of sad, because if they were all as restrained as the first one, maybe I would want to watch them.
I mean, the twist in that first one,
so good.
That's all time.
But I didn't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
It was really good for me.
I didn't know that it got nasty. You know what I mean? I've only seen Saw 1.
Wait,
so I was
you didn't know this at all, for real?
I didn't know I thought it was going to be like the first one. I didn't know it's like literally just nasty. That's all it is. And also, I'll tell you,
this nasty is what it is.
Nasty woman.
Nasty.
Anyway, that's that. So
yeah,
that's that.
Just before you move on, that movie, I will, the first movie, I can never stop thinking about Cary Elwes in it, because I think he is doing some kind of acting that no one else thinks is a good idea to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
He is just like, he is like, I'm doing theater right now, mm-hmm, in yeah. Saw. And yeah. it blows my mind. I love it.
He suffers.
But yeah. it's so weird.
He suffers from the like constantly fighting his accent kind of acting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's so funny because like I wasn't like a Princess Bride person when I was super young, but I know him from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah,
like,
same.
For him to show up in Saw was always like, well, this is so fucking weird. And you're right. He's like, because there's not much to do in the movie, everyone thinks, well, I have to overact as much as possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's kind of incredible. Well,
oh, I love it. I enjoy it. It's so wild.
I love though. It.
The swing from that to then Donnie Wahlberg in the second one is performance-wise incredible.
I will literally never watch another one of those, but I do the stupid thing where I like read the Wikipedia of Scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do
that's
that.
Not stupid, that's smart. Sean, you should see the new one. It's really good.
No, I'm not going to do it. And I think
it's really good.
The problem, though, is that you'll read, because I read the Wikipedia for Saw and mm-hmm. thought, oh, this is the most gory movie ever. And then you watch it and you're like, it's not that gory. Mm-hmm. So like reading the Wikipedia is almost worse sometimes because your mind yeah. is like, that's the fucking freakiest shit.
No, yeah. I want you to read the Wikipedia for this one and let me know what you think. Because there's no way it can be as gross as the seeing
Well,
the second one is famously so gory, I feel like. That they immediately go off the rails and it's like, we're going to put nails in their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the truth. I think it's just feel like worse.
It probably also came out around the same time that Hostel did.
Yeah.
And both of, I remember being like, something sick is taking over people's minds.
I think it
like
was-
there's a wave of deep, deep sickness happening.
Yeah. I think it was Saw came out and then everyone saw it and then they were like, let's do Hostel. Everyone loves gore porn or whatever. And it's like, no, they liked because it was good. We learned the wrong lesson from it. It's like we're going to have all these like toy movies after the Barbie movie and it's not because we want toy movies.
No.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's a big stinker, Caroline. You shouldn't have seen that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
James, you have a stink?
I'm trying to think. I don't really have much of a stinker this week, if I'm
being honest. Oh, you're perfect? That's fucking awesome. Really
cool. No, it was just a boring week. I think, if anything, it's that I went home to visit my family. And the main thing, I was like home. So I'm like, yeah, of course, we got to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Mm. And that's it. That's really it. It's just like, if I go home, it's like, in my head, I have this like almost like a dog to a treat association of, well, I'm home. Well, so obviously I'll be having a bit of a Buffy Wild moment.
Daddy needs a wing.
Yeah. So like, it's like me texting my brother, my sister being like, hey, I'm going to be home on Saturday. And they're like, cool. Do you want to go to lunch? I'm like, yeah, why don't we go to Buffalo Wild Wings?
Lunch at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah, it's lunch. The noon at 12 on the dot. Not even like a normal time for like a like early lunch.
The early bird special.
That's
we
sick.
Get there a half hour of the open. Yeah. And then I walk in and I always go, can I have a booth? Like my dad.
Oh, James.
I'd like a booth at this Buffalo Wild Wings.
James.
And I will be ordering boneless wings.
So you were trying to pretend like there were no stinkers, but there was clearly a big glare.
Yes, it's just because it's so obviously such a normal part of my life that it doesn't seem like anything. But yeah, I went to Buffy Wild at noon on a Saturday in New Jersey.
Again, it's like not one in, you had to travel out of state for it.
I wouldn't go to a New York one.
That's not right.
I mean, you would never go to Buffalo.
No. I'm telling you though, the North Brunswick, New Jersey Buffalo Wild Wings knows what they're doing.
That's just
it might not be what anyone wants them to be doing, but they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
Sometimes it's all about confidence.
Yeah.
If you come with at me with a truth that you feel confident in, all right, I can't judge it.
And they're confident there. I'll tell you that. That was beautiful. They're right next door to a Longhorn Steakhouse, and they make that Longhorn look like shit.
Wow, Longhorn's still open? I thought that company was long gone.
No, the one that's still open is near my parents' house.
Wow.
I think they are keeping it alive, for real.
In New Jersey, there's like one of each chain from everyone.
Still, you know, still around.
You know, there's still a pool of hands. Rutgers. There's still maybe a Bennigan's.
Yeah, Bennigan's. All right.
So, yeah, it was actually sick.
Yeah. Mine is sort of a different Buffalo Wild Wing. I would say my stinker is that recently I've hung out a few times with people who have e-cigarettes. You know these things?
Oh, Maggie, yeah.
We're talking elf bars. We're talking the little flumes.
Wait, is that different than like a Juul?
In that it's not the same brand.
But they're the same, like interchangeable.
It's those little thick guys.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'm taking puffs. You know what I mean? I'm taking puffs and I'm liking the vibes of when I've had the puffs. And here's the thing, though. Here's where the stink comes in. Because I don't believe that just having a puff every now and then is a true stink. Sure. That's what that is living life. Mm-hmm. The stink.
You do stink. You do personally will stink.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And where it becomes bad is that I've like thought about it since, where I'll be like out walking and I'm like, damn, just one puff would feel good right now, wouldn't it? And so that is why those companies are so successful.
Now, can you correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when I first started to get like be friends with you in LA, you were a vapor.
And that is hard for me to hear, but it is the truth that I did get addicted as a bit. And that is also hard. Okay. So yeah, I was saying that I did ultimately get addicted to Juul as a bit and by accident. And it happened over the course of one weekend, and I swear to God, I bought it Friday, and by Monday I was fully addicted. And
do you think, Maggie, it's the like oral fixation of getting to like puff on something, or is it the tobacco withdrawal, like feeling like you need tobacco?
I think it was probably a combination of both, looking back at the time it happened, of like there was definitely a compulsive anxiety factor, but like the way your body also just starts craving that taste is, and this was back when mango was, you know, you were still able to freely purchase that sweet mango.
Is the mango illegal now? What happened?
Yeah,
you got flavor. You can't even touch it.
That's you can't. Crazy. You can't be buying a mango anymore.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry about that, Maggie.
Yeah, no, it's okay. And so, I have no fear of getting re-addicted. It was just like, oh, wow, those sweet tastes are nice. And
that's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
I'm just glad to hear you're not scared in case you do get re-addicted, because that was the thing I was most worried about, is the fear taking over, you know?
I'm not, I go beast mode. I am not scared. I am
so nice.
I am so strong, and these things have no power over me.
Yeah. Well, you're basically the alpha when it comes to the pack of you and vape, right?
Yeah. I do creatine. I'm going gains mode.
Yeah. A lot of anabolic steroids.
Yeah. There's nothing to do about it.
Damn.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, Maggie, but I think that if you feel like you're like have an oral fixation, I heard try taking a pen around with you and chewing on it every time you feel like you want to smoke.
Now that's an interesting idea.
I worked with someone who was a pen chewer, and I was like, why do you do that? And he's like, it's how I quit smoking. And I was like, huh, interesting.
Interesting.
I heard also you suck on the pen a little bit.
Right, and you're supposed to like really get into it, and I think you want to record it for Prosperity so you can see it. And
yeah, and would you guys mind if I just like, should I send it to you first to make sure I'm doing it right?
If you want us to be your sponsors,
this is not okay. I just want to say,
I'm looking to be a sponsor of just about anything right now.
You know, speaking of sponsor, I just want to put out a reminder to the listeners. We're still accepting listener voicemails on your own personal stinkers or what we can do to improve the podcast. But keep in mind, we were just given an award at the beginning. Yeah, so
don't broke. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Of course.
Yeah. We've got. We're gonna add that Laurel to our
Laurel box.
Laurel box.
But again, that number. Well, not again. I didn't say it at all. The number is 4.
Once again.
469-431-2503. Again, that's 469-431-2503. And you know, speaking of 03,
I do Caroline, like that it ends in a 3 because a 3 is kind of like a butt.
Exactly. Yeah. And speaking of butts, sometimes that's kind of
This is a hat trick of transitions.
That's right where here. Stinky.
Speaking of hat trick.
Speaking of hat trick, that's 3 times. And so, Sean, what's your stinker?
Wow. The second award has to go out for a sort of. You guys said it was a hat trick. I believe there might have been 5 transitions in there. I like this podcast idea because it really gets you thinking about a lot of the dark moments and a lot of, you know, taking some time to think back at some of the things I was considering. I, of course, considered the entire summer I decided to do blackface for a wrestling comedy show.
I think that's the first time
I was around for a lot of that.
I think that's the first time I saw you perform. Kristen.
There are multiple people who saw me for the first time performing in blackface. And I thought it was really funny and subversive. And then when I realized everyone was laughing and at the wrong jokes, I had to stop doing it.
Yeah, sure.
It made me think about, obviously, like I got arrested in college. And the reason I got arrested was I sold a stolen guitar to Guitar Center. And when I was selling it, they were like, okay, this is like a pawn shop. So you have to like take your fingerprint and like sign your name and photocopy your ID. And 20 whatever year old Sean was like, sure. Yeah, no problem. Cut to like 9 months later, a police officer is sliding over the signed thing to me and led to a couple years of probation. Not a great time there in college. So that was a stinker I thought about. Thought about the time I did a commercial with Kyrie Irving and I said one of the most embarrassing things I've ever said.
Oh my God.
What did you say?
I have this thing where if I'm with like a celebrity, especially a black celebrity like that, I try to like make a joke with them. Like I one time shot a video with R. Kelly.
I was not going to even say it.
Were you there, James?
Yes, I was not even going to say it.
Shot a video with R. Kelly before all the big allegations came out. And I think I said something like, these white people are crazy.
That's exactly what you said. I was just talking to Michael Hartney, was also there. And I was just talking to him about, yes, everybody was there.
Yeah, everyone was there.
Dan Chamberlain, I just saw too. He was also there.
Yeah, we shot a video.
Product or what was
it? Was a Funny or Die video about like R. Kelly. It was like a Christmas themed R. Kelly video where it was like no one's at the club.
That's what the holidays need.
Yeah, it was at Santa's party house, Andrew WK's
his club. Yeah, in New York. And so R. Kelly, of course, had to eat a lobster and drink a bottle of champagne before he started shooting. He was a little drunk. And I get a kick out of like getting a laugh out of someone like R. Kelly, like
at the time.
So I got him to laugh and I thought that was really fun. So I'm shooting this thing with Kyrie and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get Kyrie to laugh. Mind you, he's like playing with LeBron at the time. Like he is about to win a championship. Like this is a big year for him. We're shooting the commercial. It's a Foot Locker commercial. We're sitting on his fake couch and I look over to him and I'm like, hey, Kyrie, who's the sweatiest person in the NBA? And he gives me like one of the most puzzled looks, like basically like, did you just call me gay kind of look? And I do think he tried to get me fired from the commercial and I was shunned by the entire crew the rest of the day. But that was a big stinker. But
well, he's a stinker.
At the end of the day, I look fine in that conversation. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I had an epiphany to one of the worst possible things that I've been a part of.
I can't wait.
And it's a high school story. But so right. I went to this magnet school that was like, when you went to the school, you had to like have a major kind of. And I like auditioned to be in the band, and that's how I got into the school. But then I quit band. I was like, I don't want to fucking be in band.
What instrument were you playing?
Trumpet. And they were like, you have to be in marching band. And I was like, so you want me to march in the summer in Miami? Fuck this. So I just played the trumpet. Like I played in the Miami Youth Symphony and some other shit. But I stayed in the school and I switched majors and I switched into like criminal justice, which was like.
They had that in high school? Yeah,
it's pretty weird. So like we had in my high school, we had a mock trial courtroom built. And all of our teachers were ex-police officers and ex-lawyers. Oh. One of the teachers.
This is like if CSI Miami or something said that there was like created a high school within the show, I would be like, that's insane.
I can't tell you the insane things we did. So one of the teachers and the teacher involved in this story was the trust police officer from my middle school. So I met him in middle school when he was like arresting kids for doing drugs and like sending them to like this place called Boys Town where they sent all these like troubled youth teens.
What? Boys Town?
It's called Boys Town and I think it got shut down or something.
Oh my God. So James goes to Boys Town sometimes.
Yeah. This is how I met this guy. And then in high school, he's like my teacher. And he was a teacher of mine 3 out of the 4 years I was there.
Oh my God.
And his name was Mr. Brooks. He was just an ex-police officer, like one of what you would think an ex-cop is. Mm-hmm. And we did things in his class like watch the entire O.J. Simpson trial and talk about like hence my obsession with O.J.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Talk about other stinkers. So my obsession with OJ came from watching the whole trial and then like arguing in the class about the merits of it. And we did another thing where he simulated an arrest in our class where the police like went overboard and like police brutality'd one of the students. Like this happened in our class.
Oh, he made
up This is how it would go, guys.
Yeah. So he's like, you guys come in and do the arrest. They did it. We were all witnesses. Then we did a mock trial where some of us were witnesses, some of us were lawyers. And it was like interesting. We also did traffic stop simulations in the driver's ed range.
Okay.
And the funny part of it was the teacher would like sit in the passenger seat while we would like approach the car and he would show us every different like every way that you could be killed as a police officer on a traffic stop.
One of the things he did was
he was like, I walked up to the door. This is what he did to me. I walked up to the door and he's in the passenger seat and he's like, let me get my registration. And he like reached down, like he leaned down under his chair. And behind him, the person driving reached down under their chair. And behind him, the teacher was holding a plastic gun and was like, this is how I would shoot you. Like being a fake gun, being like, this is how you would die.
Oh my God.
I can't believe he went from banned to this.
Yes.
And there was a moment. Also, meanwhile, like I started smoking weed in 10th grade and I was smoking weed so much in school. Like it smelled like weed all the time. He knew we were smoking weed. He knew we were the weed kids, but he still kind of was like, they're kind of smart. And me and my friend were kind of funny. And I guess that like made him think we were kind of lawyery. So he like let us do lawyer shit in the class. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah.
So that fake gun plays into the story.
Oh my God.
So. It's
I
already.
Can't believe we're not at the story.
We're not in the story yet. It's so much worse.
Oh my God.
So this thing happens where like we have. So we're in this academy, and you have like maybe 100 students in the academy with you, mm-hmm. and we have all these teachers who are like, you know, different teachers that we might not have had. So we had this day where it was like, we're going to walk around to each classroom, and every teacher is going to do like a 10 or 15 minute presentation. It was a weird kind of convoluted thing, but we're like walking around. It's like a day where it's like not a job fair, but it's like check out what the other teachers are teaching kind of day.
Okay.
And we are walking around. It's kind of fun. And me and my friend Leo, who are like the kind of cut up funny lawyer guys, are about to go into the class of the teacher who we already have had, right? Mm-hmm. We have this guy, Mr. Brooks. We walk into the class and he goes, guys, come here. I want to do something. And so he pulls us aside and he hands my friend the fake gun. And he's like, I'm going to do the presentation. But in the middle of the presentation, I want you guys to have a fake argument and then take out the gun and act like you're going to shoot each other.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And you're in a school.
We are in a school. We are in a
post-Columbine
world. Absolutely. And so me and my friend are like, this is going to be fucking hilarious. Mind you, I've also like my station at school, like I wasn't like a popular person, but I went to a smaller school. So I knew most of the people at my school and like I was friendly with a lot of people, but I also did these stupid things to really isolate myself. Like, there was a partly religious sect of people at my school, and I wrote this whole thing in the newspaper about how like Christmas is a pagan holiday. And I was like, I went off. Like, I was like, and how fucking dare you? And then like everyone shunned me for a while. And then there was this other time, there was this Black History Month presentation where in the Black History Month presentation, they kept talking about Jesus. And I got up immediately. I ran out of the auditorium. I went to the office and I made a big sign. I don't even remember what it said. And then when the thing let out, I like stood at the entrance of the auditorium and I was like, this is bullshit. Black History Month is not Christian. Like I went off and then like people shunned me for a while. So I've had the history of this kind of.
That is incredible.
Feeling shunned. I mean, incredible or like kind of unstable, like teenage years. But so in this moment, I'm not thinking like, Sean, this is going to be another one of those situations where you get shunned by everyone for doing this. So the presentation starts. He's like up there clearly not saying anything, like just kind of vamping, waiting for me and my friend to go off. And we weren't like actors or anything, but like our adrenaline was so pumped up that like we made it seem so real.
Oh
like,
my God.
Best friends. So everyone was like, what's going on? Why are they fighting? So it like was so shocking to people. And, you know, like I get up. I remember I like pushed my table over, my whole table. And like he pulls out the gun and I'm talking about people in the classroom. I've never been more haunted by the what happened. Oh, fear. And like people ran out of the room. People had to be coaxed back into the room. It was like some of the most dark shit ever. And the stinker of the whole thing was like, I thought it was fun. Like I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was ultimately like a big prank.
It was like a big prank, and I like got such a rush from it, and I didn't have the context of like this is so wrong for so many reasons.
Yeah.
And so then the topper is later on, all the students from the academy met in the gym to do like a final big Q&A where everyone got to like go up and say what they learned. And I of course asked my teacher for the gun once again.
Oh, God.
And I went up there and I was like,
and he gave it to you after how that went?
That's the blame is so squarely on this teacher.
And I went up for sure. And I went up there and I very confidently said something stupid like, I want everyone to know that lives are being lost. And then I took the gun out because of this. Like I said something stupid like that. And no response from any, like crickets. Everyone is like, why are you doing this?
Sean. And
it wasn't until years later that I realized how fucking psychotic that was. And everyone in my class hated me for it. Like people. It was so fucking brutal. Like, and looking back, like, this was an unhinged teacher. Like, we shouldn't have done it, but
he literally, before the story starts, he's talking about, like, yeah, this side kill you. Basically, I shoot you right here. Blood will come out the other side. It'd be a two have exit wound right here.
And now, thinking about me as like a young high school kid, like a young black kid in high school, my school was also in like a kind of black neighborhood that, like, I should not have had a fake gun in any context.
No.
But anyways, that was when I remembered that, I thought that was a really dark thing.
Yeah. Oh.
I need follow up on this teacher.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, I can give you a little bit more follow up because, as I said, I got arrested in college, and the way that I was able to just get probation and keep all of it off my record was I had to go back to my high school as an adult and talk to all of my teachers, who are all police officers and lawyers, and say, hey, I fucked up. And can you write me like a letter to say that I was a good kid or something?
Oh, my God.
So
you might be surprised to learn that the kid who... who brought a gun to school?
Exactly. This is after you were the kid who pulled the gun.
But the teachers, luckily, the teachers had a different impression. Like, the only teacher that knew about that was the crazy one.
Yeah.
And when I went back and talked to him, he was really nice and really helped me out and did write me like a good letter. Like, he's a good teacher. I don't know if he's still teaching. Like, I don't know.
He's engaged. He's engaged. Yeah.
He was doing what they asked him to do. And he was taking some swings. And even at a time when, like, we weren't talking about police brutality that much in class, like, when we would bring it up, like, me and my friend would bring it up, he would always leave space for it. Like, he wasn't the worst of the worst, but there was some unhinged. He was also one of the football coaches. Very complicated.
Oh my God.
Complicated history. But yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's the stinker.
It's so incredible that you went to, like, child cop school.
That's like out of a movie.
Like, for 4 years, my tests were like, what happens if you pull someone over and they have, like, a prior arrest? Like, it was just such nonsense. And I had another teacher named Mr. Bretz who, like, Mr. Brooks and Mr. Bretz, but Mr. Bretz was like a great teacher because he kind of realized what we were doing was bullshit. So 1 year he was just like, all right, so for this whole semester we're just gonna apply to colleges, like, we're not gonna talk about law anything. And so I applied to like 10 colleges because of him. And so, like, there were some good people in the program, and I don't know what's going on. I do think that the program got accredited by, like, Obama as, like, one of the best schools in the nation or something. But when my history, my memory of it is people having sex in the hallway and...
I'm sorry. Wait, what do you mean having sex in the hallway? How is that possible?
Cool. Oh, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean... So I had sex in the hallway one time, like, not full on sex, but, like, this thing happened where I, like, I knew this girl and we weren't really friends in school, but we were like family friends. We, like, knew each other outside of school. And then the last day of school, we were just, like, kind of wandering around the hallways, and then we just, like, started hooking up.
What are you talking about?
Were there people around?
No. It was like, it was like an empty sort of stairwell, kind of watching for any approaching people kind of vibe.
Wait, that is honestly crazy.
No, it's not, Carol. I mean, stairwell
makes more sense.
Crazy in a good way.
My cousins have gone to high school in the same district at other schools, and the things that I've heard them say are much worse than that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy to look back at high school because, like, I got out pretty unscathed, but it was pretty gnarly.
Someone
brought a cattle prod to a fight one time at school.
Like, it was a prearranged fight?
He had a cattle prod in his truck, and he went and got it and was holding it behind his back, and we were all like, he's going to kill somebody.
Oh my God.
He's just like, I'm going to fucking shock someone right in the neck.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And then, like, 5 years later, I'll move to New York and I'll meet James Dwyer and we'll start doing improv.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I've shit my pants before.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
the
perfect
too.
Friendship. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Did you ever, like, you ever get a peek into what your life would have been had you stuck with band? Mm. Like, what were those kids up to?
So I don't know anyone really who, like, continued playing instruments into, like, professional or anything like that. But I did, like, in high school and college and a little bit of New York had – I bought a big MIDI keyboard and I started producing, like, hip-hop beats, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if I were doing anything musically, it might have been that now. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
it's also, like, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't want to do that forever.
Did most of your classmates – in your major, in your criminal justice SVU major, did they become cops?
No, but a lot of that, you know, it's high school, so you just end up.
Yeah, I
think there was like a medical academy where a lot of the people in that academy became doctors and stuff.
That's crazy.
But we didn't do anything like that. I think there is one person though who was a friend of mine before high school, even like we're lifelong friends who. I believe is some sort of like special agent, can't talk about what his job is. He lived in Iraq for a few years.
Yeah.
He has no social media presence at all. You can't trace him. He can't talk about what his job is. He's able to carry guns in airports, and that's kind of all I know about him. So I think he's some sort of special agent. Yeah.
For sure. Is he an air marshal?
I don't know what the fuck he is, honestly. I'm not friends with him really anymore, but last I heard he was like in the CIA or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend that was in the CIA and it was like a similar vibe. And now she's not in it anymore, so she can say yes that she was in it. But when it was happening, everyone was like, "You're in the CIA." And she's like, "No, I'm always up at 3 a.m. That's when everyone starts work. That's normal.
I just speak 7 different languages and it's normal."
Exactly.
Why did she leave?
She like just got a job somewhere else, you know, like it's funny where it's like
she was excommunicado.
Like you can only leave one way, it feels like. You don't just get to easily be like, actually I want to pursue
some of the CIA stuff's not just like it's like there's like for instance actually I should stop talking.
James, why do you
what do you think it's like?
What's
James?
Happening for
it's
you?
Like
tell
other
us
stuff
everything.
That CIA does. It's not just like a spy in another
country. She wasn't like an agent on the field. I think she was like working at the office, but she went to go on have more like super secret jobs, but and then most recently she was working at Meta, which is kind of disturbing that those are the kind of people that they're hiring. But she's
absolutely. I bet she was an analyst, probably predicting crimes in the future. You know,
I forgot. It was a bit of a pre-con.
She 3 in the morning, she got into the big tub.
Yeah, she gets in the big tub and she's in the goo. I know.
She goes old goo style. That's
James,
crazy.
I did want to bring up. I was like, what are like projects that I tried to do that were like really bad, but like kind of a nightmare? And do you remember when we shot? No, that Spank was fun. But do you remember when we shot that video where we were pretending to be like private school kids? And
what was that?
I don't know, but we got like someone who clearly just had a crush on you to do sound, and she had no idea what she was doing. And when I went to edit it, it was one of the most brutal things because we spent like 3 days walking around Astoria doing it.
Yeah,
but I do
like
still have
uniforms.
Yeah, I think I still have the video from it somewhere, but. It sounds
like
it was
you, me, Gary, and Jackie. Yeah. Gary Richardson, Jackie Jennings. Yeah, that was fun. And very insane. But that spank we did was really fun.
I remember that.
Stinker. That's a good one.
That was great.
I think I had a walk-on role in that, if I remember correctly.
Oh, congratulations.
Or something. There's basketballs with something.
Oh, that was the Halloween one we did.
Okay, there we go.
We did a Halloween one, right? Where the
one-off Halloween sketch show.
Yeah, that's the one
that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
What was your group called? What was that group called?
Dr. DJ.
Yeah,
Dr. Oh my God, it was called Dr. DJ. Is there another group called something just very similar to that?
I'm sure there's another group that is exactly called Dr. DJ. Yeah.
I feel like we're living through a reemergence of like little sketch group.
Yeah.
Sketch groups with their honey little names. And
I
like,
I wish that resurgence was happening like 7-8 years ago when we were
when you were doing it.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's psychotic, Sean. That
I'm glad I feel like it came back into my brain. I was like, I don't know if I've told this story in a really long time. So
it's so good.
It's really the perfect stinker.
Big stinker.
I can't believe there were no repercussions. Specifically with the teacher.
For the gun,
I bet that if someone really was mad and wanted to say something, he could have gotten in trouble, but I don't know. It was the Wild West, this school.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff happened.
I love the combination of it being like the Wild West, but then at the same time, it sounds like it was like a very good school.
It's supposed to be the best. It was like my parents were fighting to get me into the school.
Yeah.
It was like, they called it like the mega magnet. It's like one of a kind in the state. And like maybe there's three in the country. And when I tell you the things that went on at this school, like I can't even.
Sex in the hallway.
It's just so funny that it's like, yeah, you got to get your kid in there. And it's just like, by the way, all the teachers are cops.
All the teachers are cops, or just like all the teachers are insane. We also had a teacher that was an art teacher who let us freestyle rap in her classroom during lunch.
That's beautiful.
So we became friends with her. And then we convinced her like, hey, why don't you run a like video class? So my senior year, she ran a class on video editing where she got all this video equipment and she had no fucking clue how to use any of it. She just did it for us. And then we like would take the camera and run around the school shooting stuff.
Oh,
one day we were off camera. We were off campus in a car speeding around a neighborhood. And the cops were like, what the fuck are you guys doing out of school? And we're like, we're doing a project.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, you have to go back to school or we're going to arrest everyone. It was like that kind of thing where like there was just no rules. This high school I went to, I was the third, like there was only two classes above me. Like it was 3 years old when I went there.
Whoa.
So like everything was still kind of crazy. And
That
does it still exist now?
It absolutely does. It's called Coral Reef Senior High School. It is
Coral Reef Senior.
It's like made the news a couple times for different things. I think Obama visited there once. It's like a.
It sounds like Obama really loves this.
Yeah,
school.
He's obsessed with it.
Has a lot to say about it.
Wow, that is nuts. Thank you for sharing that with us. That really was, I would say, one of the stinkiest stinks I've ever heard.
I mean, hopefully this doesn't lead to some sort of lawsuit from someone remembering this.
Well, no, what's going to happen is Guitar Center is going to call you up because they're going to find something else going on.
I mean, I am currently, I guess, banned from Guitar Center. But I've gone into one and they've not said anything. But I do have a current lifetime ban.
Your picture's not like behind the wall of every Guitar Center.
I couldn't sell a musical instrument at Guitar Center.
Well, it's funny, Sean, that you mentioned selling because that's what we're going to be trying to do at this. This is kind of actually the last segment of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Really we're going to be trying to sell you with words. We're going to be pitching. And I hope your bladder is full because you got to let that right out now to fill out the.
Okay.
At least once an episode, it's like you watch Caroline mentally run up against a wall. Where like linguistically, she's like, oh no, there are no more words. There's a wall where words were.
It almost makes me wonder if like you're hearing like a feedback of your own voice or something and getting distracted.
I can relate, I must say.
That is kind of what it's like in my brain, but
speaking of
feedback,
mm-hmm.
Sean, we'd love to hear your feedback as the shark in Piss Tank.
Great.
Do you know Shark Tank?
I have seen every single episode of Shark Tank, including the live episodes that they've started.
Is that really true?
Bad. I haven't watched those yet.
There are live episodes where they're all talking over each other and you realize the show is edited to complete shit.
Well, that's good because that's going to be kind of closer to what you're going to
do. Yeah, that's actually great.
It's
going
to be the vibe. Nice.
Glad that's your context.
Very nice.
So we're each going to pitch you a idea and you can ask us questions. You can do whatever. You're the shark. And at the end, you're going to choose the one that is the best or worst idea. Kind of, it's up to you what you want to pick. Great. But
so Shark, I'm just gonna get straight to it. My name is James Dwyer. For a living, I basically do comedy.
Okay.
But for a passion, what I do is come up with this idea. And this idea. You've been to Panera, yeah?
No.
Yes.
Bread bowls, right?
They're absolutely
great. You put soup in there and then you eat the bread after.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, Shark. Eating ass has never been more popular than it is now. But what if you're looking?
I knew that's where this was going.
What if you're looking to eat ass, not because you want to get that nut, but because you're a nut who's simply hungry? Well, lucky for you, okay. I've invented the ass bowl. Yep, that's what it's called. The ass bowl. It's for soup. It's a bowl. It's a bowl that looks like a real human ass that you can put soup inside. Now that's an ass I'd like to take a bite out of. And luckily, you can, because every single ass bowl is made of meat, shaped into an ass, and cooked to perfection.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say it's made of meat?
Like, yeah, it's meat? Made of meat. Okay, any meat you want.
Okay.
And then we glaze the meat to make it whatever skin tone you want.
Okay. As crazy as this idea was, I was on board because I think if this was made of bread, your bread bowl comparison is great. If there was a bread asshole that I could pour hot soup into and then eat it, I think that could actually be a funny novelty gift. My friend Caroline's having a birthday. I send her a big bread asshole and I say, eat my bread ass.
That's
and then
good.
I give her some soup.
And that's where I disagree, because I'd see that bread ass and I would say, what the flipping heck? This is not what I want to eat soup out of. I want to eat a meaty ass, just like a human ass, but I'm not going to bite human flesh. I'm not weird. So I'm going to eat a meat ass. And yeah, it's an ass that it comes in all sizes. The hole, that is. This ass is one size. The cheeks. But the hole, we want you to basically, even the small, we got these small little puckers, and then we got these absolute anal gaping freaks.
Okay, well, before you get into too many details, let me stop you right there. First of all,
we can have a fistula on the edge of the asshole.
So, first of all, James.
Okay, sorry. Stop me.
I love your attitude. Oh. I think. You know, you're a star, clearly. Thank I you, know Shark. Why you do comedy for a living. I can see it. It's Thank dripping you, off the screen.
Yeah. I'm basically wet with funny vibes. No.
But you get to you said wet with funny vibes. And I think the problem I have with this product is the general wetness and sog factor that meat and soup together. I don't find that appealing. And as an ass eater, both bread and in real life, I find that a meat asshole is not quite for me. And for those reasons, I'm out.
Okay. Thank you, Shark. And just to sweeten the deal.
Okay. This has worked. Let me just say,
before I leave, the kinds of soup that you can put inside of a meat asshole, an ass bowl, are French onion, matzo ball, tomato, minestrone, lobster bisque, New England clam
shark
chowder.
Sorry, am I in the right place? Sorry, this man just in front of me has a paper that looks like shark. It's about 5,000 feet long. Of
scroll. We'll get to you in 1 second, but James,
just now, you know, those are types of soups. Those James, are the only
now, ones. Now that I've heard the types of soups, I will say you're back in contention. I do want to hear the other ideas. Yes. But when you said matzo ball soup, the idea of
the image of a big matzo ball
out of a meat, but I don't know if I can pass that up. But let's see what the other presenters. So yes, hi.
Hi, Shark. Thank you so much for seeing me. I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. Okay, great. My name's James Dwyer, and I am a comedian. Okay. Comedy is my passion, and I guess just a little background about me is I like to go to my family home in New Jersey sometimes, have a little afternoon Buffalo Wild Wings with my siblings. Mm. So do you have any questions about that?
Nope, no questions at all. It all makes perfect sense.
Okay, thank you. So everybody knows about iPods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about the Sphere in Las Vegas, or excuse me, just Sphere, right?
Right. Yeah. And you're talking about the new structure that is this big dome where they have all these LCD screens on the outside of it, and they're making all these crazy things happen.
That's right. And now, what do iPods and the Sphere and Ireland have in common?
Okay. Wow. Okay. With Ireland, I don't know.
Okay, they all have in common the band U2.
Yes.
You know how U2 came preloaded on the iPod?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. That's my alarm to continue my Duolingo streak. Okay. So in addition to comedy, I, James Dwyer, love Duolingo.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I'm saying is that everybody in the world loves U2. They're everyone's number one favorite band. And how can we get them to everyone if they're already in the Sphere, if they're already in your iPod, if they're already in Ireland? Well, we've actually taken them together and shrunk them down into borrower-sized size. And you can buy them and put them in your pockets to have Pocket U2 with you anytime you want. Pocket Bono, Pocket The Edge, Pocket Drummer. And it's going to be so nice. You can come out. They can also just, they like skin to skin a lot. So that's the thing about these people is that they need at least 5 hours of skin to skin every day.
So like a newborn baby.
Yeah, except fully formed human men that are tiny, borrower sized.
Okay.
So
no, I don't, I do have a question, and I don't want to interrupt your presentation, but.
Oh, I don't have anything prepared. This was all off the cuff.
Okay, great. As a businessman, of course, I'm looking to make money. Like, I'm looking for something that I can scale.
Yeah.
And you're basically saying, while I love the idea, you're basically saying you're going to shrink down U2 and then sell them. I mean, that's one sale. Maybe 5, 6 if you do them individually.
Yeah, so they won't be broken up. And I love that you use I love that you use the word scale, because that's exactly what we're doing here. We're scaling down. So we're scaling them down from 100% to maybe 15%. And yeah, that's a good point. There is only one U2. So this is actually just one sale. As soon as we're able to A, get the technology to shrink them down, and B, sell them, then it's going to be kind of, you're going to be done with the profit. So
you'd be using the money mostly to figure out the technology and to get U2 involved with the project. Is that
And that's where you come in, Shark.
Okay.
Just a $500 million investment, you can have a 60% stake in the company.
So my big question, because I'm worried about scale.
Or your small question.
But my small question is, what does U2 sound like when they're small? Because I'm imagining if you own them, you can get some private concerts. Mm-hmm. Are they going to sound like the Chipmunks, but like U2? Like, is it going to be really high-pitched, squeaky, sort of, you know, songs about the PLO or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great question. So in between when the 5 hours they have to do skin to skin, basically what I've researched is that because their bodies are going to be so exhausted from the process of getting small, the other 19 hours of the day, they're going to be fast asleep. So there's actually no time. There's no time for singing unless they're doing it directly into your body during the skin to skin.
Right. So it's very similar. Okay, well, gosh, it's reminding me a lot of the skin pops idea. Like, I'm obviously...
Oh, and that one is a good idea.
Because when they're asleep, I basically just have a Funko Pop that has flesh and blood of you two.
Yeah, but that's I'm not intrigued. Alive. It's small. It's right. Small, and that smells usually after a couple days.
I guess I'm intrigued. I do have a cat. I'd have to see how you two, tiny you two, plays with my cat. But
yeah.
This is an interesting idea. I'd love to hear what our final shark
thank you
has to say.
Hi, I think that's me.
Hi.
I'm the final shark. My name is James Dwyer.
Okay. Oh, it's a themed episode today.
This is just so fun.
And I pursue comedy. It's my passion, and I love okay. it. And
there's some boundaries we shouldn't be crossing.
And let's say... hoping by the end of this, you have a crush on me and you can't do sound because of it. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, I don't know how to do sound, so that would work perfectly.
Okay. Well, listen, Shark, what I'm bringing to you is something I think we can all relate on. This is a universal experience. You know when you see your older brother's friends and they're wearing mesh shorts or sweatpants and you can't pinpoint why, but you really like the way they look?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm bringing to you Meshlight. Meshlight perfectly encapsulates the image of a penis, mm-hmm. anyone's penis, mm-hmm. moving around slightly as someone walks.
Right. So you basically have like a statue of like a torso with like gray sweatpants.
That's right.
And then there's a bit of a like swang and dong in there, kind
that's
of
right.
slightly touching
that's right.
against the front.
Because I believe what the allure here is that it's not grotesque.
Right.
It's not, you're not seeing anything, but you are seeing just enough.
Okay.
And that enough is going to, what is it enough to do? Who knows, enough to brighten your day, enough to fix your marriage, enough to get your nut off. It doesn't matter. You could not, however you wanted with this kind of thing. And
I do want to say that all of your guys' ideas are very similar in that they are skin meat-based sort of shrunken down versions of things you're either horny for or but
yeah,
I will
that's really
say
interesting to hear.
Thank you for that noticing. Thank you for that noticing.
Thank you for noticing.
Thank
you. I do want to notice.
Heard, Chef. Heard.
And I do want to say that this isn't quite as universal of an experience as you think, but I did just get told by my girlfriend that I am not allowed to wear my gray sweatpants outside the house. Which I guess I never really did, but I think one day I almost wore them to the supermarket and she was like,
you have to be careful because that kind of thing
could make people horny. Deadly.
I didn't realize that was such a thing, but now that I realize it, I am wearing my gray sweatpants everywhere with no underwear.
And just imagine, for Christmas, you could get her a Meshlight of lower torso with gray sweatpants.
Now you bring something up. Like, does it light up? Because you're saying it's a Meshlight. Yes. And I know a flashlight doesn't light up. Okay, this one does.
Yes.
And
it is a lamp.
And if, not to steal from James Dwyer's idea, but if there needs to be some skin-to-skin contact, is that possible? Or are
absolutely.
We just... So it is.
Absolutely.
So you can take the... So basically it is...
You have to ask for verbal consent, and it will give it, but...
Does it have a mouth?
So it's a torso, but it has a speaker.
Yes, in the same way a tree has a mouth. In the same way the earth is talking to us all the time. You know what I mean? Everything has a voice.
Wow. I love this idea. I think it's really good. I might not be the customer for it, but I see why it is needed in the world. And I don't know if it's addressing specifically that it's your brother's friends. I don't know if there's a way to maybe cater towards a more specific demographic. But
interesting. Oh, thank you for noticing. Yeah.
But a sex toy that is alluring in the way that it is when you see someone wearing sweatpants. That is really interesting. And I got to say, I love all of your guys' ideas.
Thank you.
James Dwyer and James Dwyer and James Dwyer, of course, all have such unique visions.
So much.
Thank you.
But I do have to come back around. The matzo ball soup coming out of the fleshy butthole. I got to give it to James Dwyer. I love it. I love the bread bowl, ass bowl idea. I think it's great. We're going to go into production very fast. I do want to think about maybe trying a bread version of it.
You can try bread.
Maybe a flan version, but I think that, that's the idea I like. But thank you for coming here, James Dwyer's.
Thank you. And maybe even imagine just one big meatball.
Oh, my God.
Just covered in sauce. All right.
We can't. That's not okay.
Oh, man. So you remember early on when I said I felt safe?
Yeah.
We're gonna land you still feeling good.
That's crazy. Yeah. Good. Sean, thank you so much for doing the pod today. God, is there anything upcoming you want to promote?
No, thanks for having me, guys. Three good friends. Great to see you guys as usual. I do a podcast with Scott Aukerman where we watch movies and it's fun. It's called Scott Hasn't Seen. It's on Comedy Bang Bang World. If you're a fan of that shit, it's $5 for a bunch of podcasts. It's really fun.
Is that what you watch Saw for?
Yeah, I did. And I was not. Wow. We're watching scary movies all month, and I'm not fucking happy about it. But we have watched some fun ones. We watched Wicker Man, the original. I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's so good. And then we watched Suspiria, the original, which I had never seen. And it's incredible.
Awesome. Yeah. Have you seen Suspiria? The Witch?
No, but our guest just was telling us if I like those two movies, I should watch The Witch.
That's because I'm not a scary movie person, but I like the artsy ones.
The occult. I like paganism. Yeah. I like witch shit. So
same.
I clearly love paganism because I wrote a big article about it in high school.
Yeah.
All the ornaments on the trees are people's heads, I said in the article.
For a school full of cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to like the way you look. Why did I say that?
I don't know, but you had to laugh. I liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
Stinkers.